Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. As we here at WAMC celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Roundtable, a little American musical is celebrating 10 years since it premiered in New York City and quickly became a once-in-a-generation success in terms of reviews, ticket sales, fan enthusiasm, and awards recognition. Hamilton opened off-Broadway at the Public Theater on January 20th, 2015, and played there through May 3rd. It opened on Broadway at the Richard Rogers Theater in early August of 2015, where it is still running. Hamilton won 11 Tony Awards, a 2016 Grammy Award for its cast recording, and the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. It has played and is playing all over the world. A pro tape of the production's original cast streams on Disney Plus and was a pandemic sensation. Written by and originally starring Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton's success helped elevate the careers of its cast and creative team. It launched Miranda into the stratosphere of professional artistic opportunity on stage and in Hollywood. But before all that, the Hamilton mixtape was a work in progress, put up in a black box stage reading presented by New York Stage and Film and Vassar College in the summer of 2013. And I did get to be there, in the room where it was starting to happen. Here's a portion of my archival interview with Lin-Manuel Miranda from 2013.
You ever read a book and fall in love? That's what happened to me. I was going on vacation with my then-girlfriend, now wife, and it was my first vacation from Heights. It had a week off in the summer, and I grabbed Ron Chernow's biography of Alexander Hamilton off the shelf at Borders when bookstores still existed in New York. You know, I just wanted a big, long book to zone out to. I love historical biographies, and I didn't know much about Hamilton other than what I'd learned in history class in high school, and I said, well, at least this will have a cool ending, because that's mainly what people know about Alexander Hamilton, is how it ended. I just fell in love from the first chapter. I think the things that resonated with me about his story are, one, it's not only an immigrant story, it is the proto-immigrant story. It is, if the myth of the American dream is immigrant comes here to work hard and make good, that's what Hamilton did in spades. He came here on the strength of his writing, got a scholarship because he had written a poem that was so good, people collected money to get him off the island of St. Croix and send him to get an education. He sort of immersed himself in military history to make himself useful in the Revolutionary War until he was recommended to George Washington by three separate sources and became his aide-de-camp. He was fluent in French and in English, became an indispensable, you know, most of Washington's correspondence during the Revolutionary War is in Hamilton's handwriting. He sort of ran the office. And the whole time itching to fight, miserable, because he wants to fight, because he knows social mobility only occurs through military service in this yet unformed nation. The first letter we have of Hamilton is him writing to a friend at age 14 saying, I wish there was a war. So this guy knew what he was doing and sort of just became first Treasury Secretary under Washington, and then caught beef with every other founding father. I mean, really thought he was the smartest guy in the room. He just happened to be in a room with Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison. And these fights that they had over what the American experiment should be and how it should look are the fights we're still having. The stakes being that much higher because we've just escaped British rule. And so everything, I mean, we think stakes are high now. We think we fight. But everyone is accused of plotting to overthrow the government every 5 seconds. And that's what it's like in an emerging democracy. And then, you know, basically, like, his words finally got him into trouble with Aaron Burr, with whom he'd had a professional friendship slash competition all his life, and then he got shot in Weehawken, New Jersey. And from the second chapter of Ron Chernow's book, I said this is a hip-hop musical, because it's all about words, and it's about using words to save yourself, to pull yourself out of your circumstances, and also to self-destruct.
How do you decide that it will definitely be a show that you're going to work on, and then you start developing it, and where do you begin?
I was writing it on vacation.
That's not much of a vacation then, Lynn.
But it was for me because it was this in a world I really didn't know a lot about, and I've since immersed myself in sort of this chapter in history. I tell people I feel like a mosquito that hit an artery because there's so much there. I mean, there's so much about the way we live now that was being decided by these guys who were making it up as they went along. And that is interesting to me to capture, and it's interesting to sort of get into also the personal animus that gives rise to these policies we have today. You know, Hamilton having grown up on the island of Nevis, that was sort of the center point of the triangle trade, you know, an island where blacks outnumbered whites 3-1, and he's a firm abolitionist all his life. Like, he's ahead of the curve of the rest of the founding fathers in that respect. One, because he is seen African Americans as people, like way before everyone else. Everyone else has, you know, seen them in through the rubric of this system of slavery. And so, you know, there's that. And there's also, yeah, it's just so rich because it's all the conversations we have now. And but it's like origin stories. It's like the origin stories of the United States.
Is there too much there for one show?
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to get all I can. If I use Hamilton as a through line, that's my way of having the reality check with myself. Because there's tons of detours I want to take. Obviously, there's so many interesting chapters. I you know, an example is Benedict Arnold, which I haven't figured out a way to work in. I don't think it's going to make it into the final cut of my show. Benedict Arnold was like a good-ass leader. Like, he was a really good military commander. Burr was working under him as a soldier. And Hamilton was one of the people who found out the plot. Was, you know, they intercepted these letters that Benedict Arnold was sending troop directives to the British. They go to confront him. It's Hamilton, I think it's Lawrence, and someone else. I might be getting this wrong. I don't want to get it wrong on public radio. I'll really sound like a jerk. But it's Hamilton, two other guys go to, like, confront Arnold at his house, and Mrs. Arnold is there with an open robe, ranting and raving like a lunatic. They're going to put me away. I'm innocent. And they were also distressed at the sight of this, like, half-naked woman sort of babbling to herself. And they all fell for it. They all said, oh, this poor woman, she is innocent in her husband's schemes. They sent her back to London. History has since told us she was complicit. She knew what he was doing. She just put on, like, a naked lady raving act to get out of trouble. I mean,
who hasn't done that once or twice?
Not put that in your musical. And yet I can't, because it's just an interesting detour in this incredible story of sort of the Revolutionary War and what we found it after.
You could do the Founding of America Revolutionary Saga series. Do a play cycle.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many interesting detours. There's so many interesting characters. You know, some of Hamilton's friends include John Lawrence, who was really his closest friend, and spent a good amount of the Revolutionary War in the South trying to raise the first all-black militia and getting voted down at every turn. And, you know, Lafayette, the Marquis de Lafayette, who was a French noble who came here and who just heard about what was going on in America, was like, I gotta go, left a pregnant wife in France to go fight. You know, these are interesting, rich characters. And so it's, you know, it's a feast in terms of detail, what you can draw upon.
I knew this was going to be a really fun interview, and it's surpassed my expectations. Oh, nice. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know you're about to get crazy. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That was part of my 2013 interview with Lin-Manuel Miranda as part of our 25th anniversary celebration of The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.